Our Lady of Grace homilies are brought to you by a generous parishioner who encourages you to join in prayer for mission churches worldwide. Explore the Frontiers of Faith podcast for further insights into these missions.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. I've always found that this scene in the Gospel is really awkward in a certain way. That I remember when I was living with a host family in Honduras, I was studying Spanish along with another guy down there, and they would always make us food, and sometimes the family would sit down and eat with us, and other times they would let us eat first, and then the family would eat together after we left. And whenever that happened, they would just kind of sit there and stare at us while we ate. And it's really uncomfortable to have someone watch you eat. But that's what's happening in the Gospel today, that Jesus asks for fish. So the resurrected Lord asks for something to eat, and his terrified apostles give him any food they could find just to make sure that he doesn't hurt them. And you can imagine Jesus sitting there chewing baked fish in silence, locking eyes with the apostles who watch him with mouths agape, and how uncomfortable the scene was and how awkward. And so the question is, what in the world is going on? And why would this scene be recorded in the Gospel? Let's backtrack a little bit. We return this weekend to the upper room, just like we were at in last Sunday in John's Gospel. And we hear Luke's account of Jesus appearing to the apostles for the very first time after the resurrection. And just like in John's Gospel, the first words out of his mouth when he sees his apostles are, "Peace be with you." And that's incredibly significant. It's not what the apostles expected. Every one of them, in one way or another, had abandoned Jesus. Every one of them had sinned grievously. And so in their minds, seeing him after his death meant that he, number one, was a ghost, and number two, that he had come back from the dead in order to seek revenge because they had abandoned him in his hour of need. And that's how the human mind thinks about God. Think, for example, of Greek mythology, which ultimately is the concoction of human minds. You think in Greek mythology, there's all kinds of stories about people being punished for offending the gods. There's a story of Sisyphus in Greek mythology. He offends Zeus, and so for all eternity, he has to push a boulder up a hill forever. You have Prometheus, who goes to Mount Olympus, and he steals fire from the gods. And the gods are so angry that they tie him to a stake. And every day, an eagle would swoop down, eat his liver, and then the liver would grow back overnight, and the eagle would come back the next day to have another feast. And you just think of the way that human beings think of divine retribution. And that's what the apostles expected from Jesus, too. that this was a moment of divine retribution. They were wondering what kind of horrible punishment the Lord was going to inflict on them. And Jesus knows their fear. He knows what they think is going to happen. And so he appears to them and he says, "Peace be with you." He forgives them. And he restores peace to their soul. He restores peace to their relationship with God. But here's what I want to focus on with you today. Is the amazingly gentle way that Jesus does that. I want to focus on the incredible gentleness of Christ in this appearance to his apostles. When I was an older teenager, my dad adopted a rescue dog. And we could tell pretty quickly that this dog, his name was Ike, that Ike had been abused pretty badly by his previous owners. And I remember the first time I met Ike, he was absolutely terrified of me because I was a large male, probably like the person who used to beat him. And so fear was the very first thing that had to be overcome, even to be able to get close to the dog. And I had to prove to this dog that I wasn't like those other people that had hurt him. And so over the next weeks, whenever I would see Ike, I tried to reassure him and I would be kind to him, pet him, feed him from my hand, give him treats, brush him, take him for walks, give him attention, and do all of that on his own terms. And so it was a very gentle way of winning his trust. And with time, he gradually warmed up to me and we became buddies. But it was only because that trust had been formed with great gentleness. And that's what the Lord's doing today with his apostles too. They're terrified of him. They need reassured. And so look how gentle he is. Just look at the progression of things that St. Luke recounts in his gospel. He appears and he says, "Peace be with you. I'm not going to hurt you." He says, look at my hands and my feet. It's me. I'm here. I'm back with you." And then he names their fear. He knows that they're afraid that he is a ghost. And so he says, "Touch me. Touch me and see. I'm not a ghost like you think." And he goes on, "Look, I have flesh and bones. I'm real." And then comes the awkward fish thing. Yeah. Why does Jesus awkwardly eat fish in front of the apostles? Again, it was all part of that gentleness. He's proving to them in all of these different ways that their fear is not founded. And so what he does is he says, "Listen, ghosts don't eat food. So I'm going to eat this food in front of you to prove to you that I'm not a ghost and that I'm not going to hurt you." In all those ways, he was proving that he truly was Jesus. He was the risen Lord. He was their friend and he forgave them. Isn't that beautiful? Just the gentleness that he shows there. And it worked. From that moment on, the apostles believed in the reality of the resurrection. And they believed in his mercy. Listen to St. Peter in the first reading. He goes and he speaks to the Jewish people and he says, "The author of life you put to death." But then he goes on, "But I know that you acted out of ignorance." He makes excuses for them. And then he says, "Repent. He will forgive you like he forgave me." St. John, in the second reading, another one of those apostles that was present in that upper room, says in the second reading, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he is expiation for our sins. He'll forgive you like he forgave me." And you hear the gentleness in their voices. They're imitating what Jesus did. They're calling others to repent in order to find peace and forgiveness. And friends, from the day of the resurrection until now, Jesus has never stopped knocking on people's hearts and asking to be let in with incredible gentleness. And here's where I want to bring it home. I think that there are so many unrecognized fears in our hearts with regard to God. There are so many lies in our hearts that we believe about God. And Jesus, during this Easter season, he wants to take those away. Let me give you a few examples of the fears that we have and the lies that we believe about the Lord. That we believe that what Jesus really wants to do is just to condemn me. He just wants to make me live my life totally in shame. But it's not true. Or maybe we think, Jesus doesn't understand me. His truth is not for me. It might work for other people, but it can't make me happy. It can't satisfy my heart. Or following Jesus will destroy me. If I really threw in my lot with him, then I would lose my personality. I would lose everything that made me unique. Or maybe it's a fear that says, obeying his commands will only make me sad. It will take everything that's joyful away from my life. Or maybe it's a fear he's not good, that he'll take from me more than he gives. Or maybe it's a fear that says he's a liar, that what he tells me about who I am or who God is or what leads to happiness, it's not true. What's that fear that's in your heart? What's that lie that you believe? Jesus, he looks into our hearts today and he sees those fears, just like he was able to see the fear that was in the heart of his apostles. And he knows that you and I, we are startled and terrified of him. And he wants to take the fear away. And sometimes he does that so gently that we don't even recognize the fact that he's trying to do so. So here's my simple point today. The Lord can be so gentle in that process that we have to make sure that we are cooperating with him. We have to let him in. And so let's close here just with three steps toward allowing the Lord to heal those fears. The first is just to recognize it, to give it a name. So what is it? Name it. What is it that keeps you from really following Christ? What's that fear that you are harboring in your heart and that prevents you from surrendering to him? Second, to stop running, to stop avoiding the Lord because of that fear. And that means spending time with him in prayer. That's where he enters into our life and he wins our trust over gradually. That's where he shows us that he is good, that he loves us, that he forgives us. And the third step, ask him to be healed of that fear. Ask him for the desire to leave the fear behind and to begin something new. Friends, Jesus is so gently knocking at the door of our hearts today. Let's allow him in. Let's allow him to win our trust again. Let's allow him to cast out our fears and so to bring new life to our souls.